Well, hi, Mike. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hanging in there, Chris.
Mike, I'd like you to help explain the debate around the expression turnkey. It seems to me that it's used across a wide range of opinions in the dino world and other areas and gets overused, a bit like expressions such as state of the art or semi-assembly required. It leads to certain expectations which seem difficult to interpret for a test cell.
Well, Chris, I'm glad I took my blood pressure medication today, because this is a topic that if you're on the internet in the dino world searching for equipment, you're bound to come across that phrase. And that phrase is not exactly how I interpret it. I don't know about you, Chris, but I don't think is in my definition, in my understanding, there's truly a turnkey system out there that doesn't involve or doesn't capture everything.
It seems like the expression turnkey itself is open to many different opinions, but if it is one where you can provide a specification and walk away until this is completed, then I agree. I don't see how you can do that.
Yeah, over the years, I've used the phrase, you hand a check over to the supplier goes away into your facilities, 8 months later, he pops back up again, hands you the theoretical or ideal keys to the system, and you start testing that day.
Yeah, that I don't think that world exists.
No, not in the world I live in right now.
Right. So the problem is that turnkey is used for a lot of different areas and sort of suggests that you can hand over some degree of a project to a supplier. But I think even that's dangerous, because you, as the person who's going to be using that test cell, needs to be closely involved in this all the way through.
For sure. I think the podcast that we're doing right now, we want to illustrate there's from one extreme to another when you hear that word used or that phrase used, and what you can expect or what you should be aware of when you hear the phrase turnkey system used.
It's
trying to educate the listeners on just having their eyes and ears wide open and understand exactly what they're getting.
Right, so people can be careful and not be misled by something that appears to be extremely comprehensive and may not be so.
Yeah, and I think Diane brought it up earlier in our prep work that we did prior to this podcast about understanding the risk and who's really taking the risk helps further define what truly is a turnkey system.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, you as the test cell, as a person who's trying to operate this test cell, need to be very closely involved in what's happening, what's being specified, and what solutions are being offered.
Exactly. And it can go from one extreme to another, like I said earlier. The one thing that I would say is earlier in my career, there were a few systems. We're using the system meaning you're putting in a system into a test cell or a room.
Yeah, a complete test system, as opposed to, we're not just talking about a dyno and a controller here. We're talking about the bigger package.
Well put. Early on, I went through the process of never having been involved with the design and build of a test cell, so I researched out companies or suppliers that were capable of doing that, or I thought capable of doing that. And not to say they were horrible, but I quickly learned, even though the advertising was turnkey, that it truly wasn't. There were numerous things that had to be addressed. Not that they were problematic, it's just that it's hard to get a system from a supplier that meets exactly what you're looking for, or even what you think you're looking for, or what you've told them what you want. There's so much involved, and there will be issues or missed items on the list, not understanding something that you have to contend with.
So some of those areas would, obviously, I suppose the most obvious one is the range of engines you may be testing, but more subtle than that, even getting into how you're specifying the fuel system or the torque measurement. There are different solutions can be offered for different requirements.
Yeah, operating conditions, your existing facility, constraints. There are so many things that go into having a system installed in your facility. My first system that I bought was as close as I could come to getting down that road where you have very little involvement and the risk truly is in the supplier's hands. So the system that I had, I think it was two systems I bought for the first two test cells that I was involved designing and building, but they basically provided the data acquisition, the control systems, the controllers, and the integration of the system. So they actually measured for wire, they installed the components, they did a lot of the work, but it was part of it. It still wasn't the complete system.
So just take a step back a minute. You talked about this was being offered as turnkey. From your memory, from your experience with this, what was missing from that when you got into it? What areas were the areas where you needed to dig in when perhaps you were expecting them to provide a solution?
One of the things was that I didn't know who my customer was going to be. I couldn't give them every combination or engines that we would be testing in the test cell. It was a service to the outside world for doing engine testing. Not that the supplier didn't ask a lot of questions. They asked, you know, what type of tests are you going to run? Because they were there to program the test, the initial programming of the test cycles into the system. But they were very simple tests. It was more they left you with a tool set to use to create tests, to set that up, to understand what changes you needed to make. But it was on the hands of the customer, because the supplier doesn't know what they don't know. You have to tell them, right? You have to provide them with the information or the scope of work or scope of supply.
Presumably so, because you're talking about, if you're not sure what you're going to test, then you're looking at different engine cradles, different, maybe even as far as a different dynamometer, depending on the range you're going to go to. So I don't know how you can get into this turnkey expression on such a flexible requirement.
Right. I guess another way of explaining it is the business model said, we're only testing this engine, we're only running this test, and you've taken the variables out of the equation, right? Then I can see how you could get closer to the turnkey product, right?
And the nearest of that is like an end-of-line test, when it's one engine coming down the line and you're testing it to one power figure.
Right, exactly. And that's a good example, Chris. I would say that under that scenario is probably the closest you're going to get to it. You're not going to make an investment like that just to test one engine. You want to make it so you can test multiple engines, that you have the most flexibility for what you spend the dollars on.
Yes, Mike, I was thinking that what you're describing is something which could be quite inflexible if you're not careful, because you'll have one answer to one requirement. And in fact, most test systems that I've been involved with inevitably end up with a range of different power outputs, a range of different engines that have got to be installed. Well, yeah, and you've got to have some flexibility in there that you've got to somehow predict.
Yeah, so I will say the first system that I bought had the flexibility, but it needed support. You needed it initially until I learned to use fourth code programming. I needed an application engineer to help with setting up the initial test. I was able, even after the first 2 to 3 weeks of running, we got a customer project in, and we had to add more hardware to the system to be able to run the test and support the engine that they wanted. So while you started with the building blocks, it wasn't complete. And I don't think it's ever complete when you're in the testing world. You're always making changes. You're always going to have to modify or adapt to something that you didn't necessarily plan for at the beginning.
Right. So, I mean, we talked about some examples you had there, Mike, on getting, you had a system was put together in the end, but did you find that late in the day you had to make changes, or did you get involved all the way through? I mean, in other words, when did you recognize that a turnkey part wasn't real?
Probably earlier on, because the amount of effort required by the consumer or the customer to do a turnkey system, as ironic as that may sound, you had to make a lot of decisions. It's just like, best analogy I can come up to is building a house, that you hire a contractor to build a house for you. You have to make a lot of decisions on flooring material, walls, various windows. Those are decisions that you need to make when building a house, because that's what is part of the equation.
Yeah, but follow that example. You can buy a spec house. You can buy from a catalog and say, I want model number 34.
You can, but even with model number 34, I've never seen where you didn't have to be involved in making decisions on something, right?
Right. But in fact, if you take that analogy further, with a test system, you're talking about a house where you're not entirely sure how many people are going to be living there even. So be careful about the inflexibility that a turnkey solution could give.
Right. To the best of your abilities, when you use the house analogy still, you may say, okay, prime it for plumbing in the basement. Even though you're not ready to do it, or you may not do it, at least if you're going to do it, it's already there and ready to go.
But it seems to me that what we're saying here is really something of a warning to say that we should be nervous about anybody who offers turnkey, because you need to be involved. You need to have a very clear picture of what you're trying to get from your test system.
Yeah, good point. And I think that's exactly right, is knowing what you need, knowing what you want, being very clear about that with the supplier. So what the supplier says, and they show you all their advertising literature about what the system can do, you always want to ask the question, what can't it do?
Yeah, understand those limits and make sure that that's future-proof enough, that you've got in there enough flexibility to cope with different projects, different requirements all the way through.
Right. Every supplier has a different meaning when it comes to turnkey. And that's the thing we're trying to convey to everybody, is just listen to what and understand clearly what they're delivering to you.
Yeah, yes, it can just sound a bit too good to be true, and to be careful, because it probably is too good to be true.
Right. So I think that's all I wanted to share or had to share with that one.
No, it's an interesting expression, because it does sound like it'll be an answer for a lot of things. But like the other expressions we've talked about earlier, batteries may be required.
Right, exactly. Well, that was a good conversation, Chris.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Dyno Insights, presented by Froude. If there are any engine testing topics you'd like us to discuss, we'd love to hear from you. Please email us at podcast@froudedyno.com.